The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It is a blessing and a joy to see you all here today as we begin Holy Week. That verse that I just said, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. That is taken from Psalm 118, which I commend to all of you, because in the writings of the Spanish nun Egeria, who was writing in the late 4th century, around 380, she had gone on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and she happened to be in Jerusalem during Holy Week. And she says that as they came down from the Mount of Olives with their palms in this procession that was probably just disorderly and just, say, almost like a mob scene of people coming down the mountain cheering and singing, they were singing Psalm 118, which begins, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. And let Israel now proclaim his mercy endures forever." And they went on through that psalm, which also says, "The same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Imagine perhaps hundreds of people coming down into the streets of Jerusalem and singing, "The same stone which the Lord, which the builders rejected, has become the chief cornerstone. On this day, the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and we will give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." Psalm 118, which I commend to your attention and to your prayerful reading. As we begin this most holy week, today plunges us deep into Christianity's sacred mystery. Once again, we have enacted and heard the old story of Jesus and God's love for us. And I will say, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I love to tell the old story of Jesus and his glory. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. As the old song says, it satisfies my longings as nothing else will do. The old story. And once again, we are called to give ourselves over to the story. Once again, we join the crowd who cheered Jesus as he entered Jerusalem to continue his journey toward his blessed and holy passion, by which he brought to fulfillment the mystery of our salvation. This week, we return to our starting place. The liturgies and the stories function like a spiritual magnet, pulling us back to a place of deep memory where we can remember what took place to bring us here today and be inspired by the collective contemplation of those mighty acts. These stories are as important to us as the Passover and Exodus are to our Jewish brothers and sisters. Taken together, they speak of liberation and of creation. Through Christ, we are freed from the grip of sin. Through Christ, we become a new creation. As St. Paul would say, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away and the new has come. All this is from Jesus Christ. And today, our Lord sends out to us an SOS, but it is not a distress call. Rather, it is a call of salvation and how it was brought about. Service, obedience, sacrifice. S-O-S. These are the call signs, if you will, of Jesus. On Maundy Thursday, we will encounter his astounding act of service as he takes on the role of a slave whose duty is to wash the dirty, stinking feet of his superiors. I have set you an example, he told his disciples, that you should do as I have done to you. To wash the dirty, stinking feet of your superiors. And then there is obedience. His entire life is one of obedience. He does not run from the terrors and the humiliation, the agony and the crushing loneliness, the abandonment. And though his soul is racked by these emotions and the physical pain in Gethsemane, he, like any one of us, would pray and did pray, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. He calls us to have the courage of our convictions when we pray, thy will be done. As the hymn from Philippians says, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. And then there will be Friday when we will come to the cross, the place of supreme sacrifice and the consummation of his SOS call to bring about our salvation. The question is then asked, will we be there watching with Mary Magdalene, Salome, and the other women? Will we join in the centurion's acclamation that the man that his soldiers nailed to the cross is not a condemned criminal, but is truly the Son of God? Each event, brothers and sisters, invites us to find ourselves in the story and to examine how we live out the story in our daily lives. I myself think of Simon of Cyrene, an African who may have come to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem, but he finds himself forced and compelled to carry a condemned man's cross. And yet there must be more to his story than that act of obedient service. For why? Why does Mark not only name him Simon of Cyrene, but also identify him as the father of Alexander and Rufus? Was this family known to the Christians in Rome, where Mark wrote his gospel? Is this Rufus the same one that Paul identifies in his greetings at the end of the epistle to the Romans? Perhaps. Did a chance encounter lead to a transformation and a life of following Jesus Christ that the early evangelists and the great apostle needed to remember and to call to our attention? Simon of Cyrene, father of Alexander and Rufus. I think of him because I too was transformed by a chance encounter that led me to the priesthood and so to you. I think of Simon of Cyrene and I carry my own cross for Christ. Service, obedience, and sacrifice, the SOS of Christ, lived out in myriad ways every day. Some ways are tremendous and profound, and others are small and unremarked upon, commonplace deeds that yet still reveal Christ at work. Consider, if you will, the families who gathered last Sunday in the kitchen to cook meals for the Lighthouse shelter. Wasn't that an act of service? Wasn't that an obedient response to Jesus' reminder that whatever we do for the least of his children, we do for him? And wasn't there in that deed a sacrifice of time, talent, and a little treasure? I lift them up not because it was remarkable, but because it was commonplace. Things that we do all the time. Things that are a reminder to us, should remind us, of our service, of our obedience, and of our sacrifice. As I say, today's worship began with the celebration. A celebration that were we there at that time, we would not know what was to come. And yet there are these words that were preached long ago by one of our ancient bishops who says, "In his humility, Christ entered the dark regions of our fallen world. And he is glad that he came and lived among us and shared in our nature in order to raise us up again to himself. So let us spread before his feet not only garments or soulless olive branches and palm leaves, which delight the eye for a few hours and then wither, but let us present to him ourselves, clothed in his grace. And I would add, brothers and sisters, let us tell the old, old story of Jesus and his glory. Let us live the old, old story and be renewed. Let us, with the psalmist, sing the good news that the Lord is our strength and our song, for by his mighty acts, he has brought our salvation." Amen.